Hello and welcome to another edition of Bacardi's Balls to the Wall podcast.
Bacardi!
I'm Bacardi editor John T. Mark, and I'm joined today by football writer Tsepo Tsoalengwe.
Hey, te hola. Thanks for welcoming me to the show, John T.
Here we are here to discuss all things football in Mzansi and beyond, as per usual. Unfortunately, Sibonga Sini Gumbi, the other regular guest on this podcast, could not join us today. So it's just going to be me and Tsepo. We'll keep it fairly brief, a bit briefer than usual, I think, but it is the off season after all. But we're going to start with Kaizer Chiefs. Well, actually, he's not Kaizer Chiefs player anymore, but
yeah.
Former Kaizer Chiefs attacker for now, Karma Biliat, who, Chiefs put a statement out on their website saying that Karma Biliat was uncontactable, that they'd offered him a new contract, but that he had not responded, but that they were hoping he would be back in training with his teammates, although they also acknowledged that his contract expired on the 30th of June, so he has no legal responsibility to be with his teammates at all. Mm. The situation has not really developed over the last few days. It doesn't seem like Biliat wants to sign a new deal with Chiefs, even if Chiefs have offered him a new deal. Perhaps they haven't offered him enough money. Tsepo, what's your reading of the Biliat situation as it stands?
I think it's very clear to everybody, you know, including the Kaizer Chiefs management, that Karma definitely doesn't want to be with the team anymore. I mean, like, the team is already in camp. They offered him a new contract, and he hasn't said anything. He hasn't been at all. I mean, like, what does it say? It tells you that the player doesn't want to be with the team anymore. And, you know, for Karma, again, you know, and for Chiefs, actually, I would not really stress about this, because, I mean, like, since he has been brought into the team, he hasn't really done anything for the club. And, you know, with a, you know, money that he has been receiving at the club, you know, apparently he was one of the most, you know, highest paid players at the team, but he didn't really give anything to the team. And, you know, with the injuries that came with it, and I mean, his play was just not, you know, giving Chiefs anything. I mean, he was not making an impact at the club. And again, the club is trying to rebuild. They sign a lot of new players now, and I don't see why we should stress about Karma. I don't think, you know, we should stress about him. We should just let him go and, you know, he must just find himself a new club. I think that's just about it.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to play for Chiefs anymore.
Yeah, it seems quite clear that Biliat is not interested.
Mm.
From a Chiefs perspective, that statement seemed a bit odd in the sense that why would you say that a player... What I didn't understand about that statement, let me just start. The first part of it. They say that when his contract expired on the 30th of June, they offered him a new contract.
Mm.
And my understanding of contract negotiations is, you know, a player's contract's going to expire. You don't start contract negotiations
after that.
The day his contract expires.
Mm.
So what's that all about?
Mm.
And then obviously it was a bit confusing simply because they said he was expected to join his teammates, but he can't be expected to join his teammates if he's no longer an employee of Kaizer Chiefs. So it was an odd statement. Do you think it was a positioning from Chiefs so that when Biliat or if Biliat leaves, they'll look like they were at least trying to do something?
No, exactly. You know, the way I see it, John T, I think we were 2-1, you know, regarding this Karma situation. We were not really sure if we wanted to keep him in the team or not. So I think we just wanted to see, you know, which players are we going to get into the team first, and see how we're going to rebuild the team. But unfortunately, you know, I mean, for a player like Karma, I mean, you have to look out for yourself. I mean, if a team hasn't offered me anything yet and my contract is about to expire, I have to look elsewhere. I mean, I wasn't going to wait for Chiefs, you know, for them to come and offer me a new deal. I will be making, you know, other alternatives and trying to make a move somewhere else. And I think that's practically what has just happened. It's just a pity now that we don't really know where he is. But I'm really sure that Karma, where he is right now, he's busy trying to find, work elsewhere or find a new team elsewhere.
Yeah. I mean, he is 32 now. So
yeah.
He is kind of, perhaps you could say, past his best. He's obviously had his injury problems. And as you mentioned, Simple, he never quite gave Chiefs what they were looking for in the time he was at Chiefs. The feeling really is, why would Chiefs pursue a new contract with Biliat unless he was going to sign for them on significantly less money than he was being paid in his previous contract, which perhaps They did offer him a very low amount, and perhaps that ultimately it's the fact that he doesn't, he wants, he feels like he can earn more money elsewhere. But as you mentioned as well with Billiat's stats, they're not great for chicks.
They're not great.
He hasn't got, you know, I mean, in terms of what he brought from Sundowns, he hasn't won a trophy in all the seasons he played for Chiefs. And, you know, his goals and assists record is very poor in his time at Chiefs. His occasional sparks where you thought, okay, is the real Billiat back, but never really happened. And even for Zimbabwe, he's been more impressive than he has.
For Chiefs. I don't really see why Chiefs should be stressing about him. Like I said, we are on a rebuilding phase now. They signed a lot of new players right now, you know, and quite interesting players to see. We have a new coach, Nzeki, you know, and Noveliti signing Tebogo Potsane, you know. I think Zbo even spoke about this. I think Tebogo Potsane, you know, you might say that he is kind of like a replacement for Billiat, because I think, you know, he's an attacking player, you know, very skillful. He can assist, he can score goals, and again, he's younger than Billiat. You know, so I think he would give Chiefs something.
Yeah, I mean, Billiat, you know, he never reached double figures for Chiefs in the league. His best season was 21-22 when he scored 8 goals. But he scored 14 for Sundowns in the 2015-16 season, 12 in the 2012-13 season. This is just in the league. So, you know, obviously he never quite recaptured that form. And he obviously won a Champions League with Mamelodi Sundowns as well. Was never able to recapture that form at Chiefs, so yeah, like you say, Potsane perhaps can be a replacement. Perhaps it's time for Chiefs to move on, I think. Yeah, they, you know, he's not been a success, and sometimes you just put that in the past and you move forward. So I think it'd be good for everyone to move forward. Maybe Billiat can do a job, at another side. We've seen a lot of guys like Mokocha, Sekakuna United revive their careers. Perhaps, you know, Billiat can find a team perhaps where there's less pressure on him, and revive his career. We shall see.
And again, I mean, a lot of Chiefs fans were always on, you know, on his case regarding his performance. And I think, you know, that's one of the reasons I think he just decided, like, you know what, I think it's just about time, you know, I leave the team, you know, because fans were not really happy with his performance.
Yeah. Yeah. No, 100%. Moving on. Orlando Pirates issued a statement this week saying they will be playing Maccabi Tel Aviv in Spain in a friendly football tournament, despite some public outcry that they should not be playing because of the situation, obviously political situation involving Israel and particularly their treatment of the Palestinian people. Sebo, Pirates have said, you know, there's no law effectively saying they can't, and they believe in free speech or something like that. So they're going to play. What do you think? I mean, it is in Spain. It's not in Israel, but it is against an Israeli team. Do you think there's a particular problem with this?
I think it's a bit unfair again for Paris, you know, Jonty. You know, I even see, you know, some, you know, political parties, you know, in the country, like the ENC and the SACP, you know, voicing out their concerns regarding this match. But again, this is not a match that was, you know, organized by Orlando Pirates. They did state on their statement that, you know, this is a match that was organized by, you know, FIFA people. So, I think if it was a match that was organized by a Pirates, then we should be, you know, saying something else. But this is a match that was organized by FIFA, and again, the fact that this match is not played in Israel says a lot. I mean, so we can't blame them for playing this match. I mean, again, this is football. This is not politics. Yes, we know what's happening, you know, in Israel and the Palestinian people and all of that. But again, this is just a football match, and football is supposed to bring people together.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, over-politicizing of football is one way of looking at it. Should a match like this, it's a friendly match, should it really be used as a vehicle to, you know, to raise your political concerns? On the other hand, I guess, you know, football is the sport of the people, and there needs to be a kind of awareness around it. So I feel like it's tricky, you know, as a public vehicle, we need to kind of allow sport to be politicized in a sense, because it is by inherently political, because, you know, it's what most people watch, and, you know, it will always be a place where people can express their views.
Yeah,
there always will be politics surrounding it. But yeah, Pirates have decided to play, I guess, and that's that. and we shall see how that develops moving forward. Okay, next topic. Banyana Banyana are currently in New Zealand preparing for the 2023 FIFA Women's World Cup. Opening matches against Sweden on July 23. They also have Italy and Argentina in their group. Desiree Ellis's side had an absolutely, what can we call it, except a shambles of a situation here in South Africa, which we didn't touch on because we had to, unfortunately, take a break from the podcast last week. We would have touched on it last week, so we're going to touch on it this week. Absolute shambles of a situation where the South African Football Association effectively picked a different team to play against Botswana in a friendly at the Tekane Stadium, which was supposed to be a send-off friendly for Banyana Banyana, ended up being a nothing game, which Botswana won 5-0. The Banyana Banyana players turned up at the game, got off the coach, were initially not allowed into the stadium. Gauteng Premier Panyaza Lesufi had to intervene. And eventually peace was brokered. Part of the problem was that the Banyana team did not want to play on the Tekane Stadium pitch. The other, seemingly perhaps more pertinent part of the problem was that SAFA had not agreed to bonuses that Banyana Banyana wanted. Guaranteed to them from participation, not just participation at the World Cup, but also whatever they achieved there. It ended up in a press conference again where Lesufi and Precious Motsepe, I was just remembering the first name there, Precious Motsepe and the Motsepe Foundation pledged to cover the balance of the bonuses. And so it seems like Banyana have gone to Australia and New Zealand with their money guaranteed. However, it doesn't, this has not reflected well, Tebo, on the South African Football Association. What was your make? What was your take on all of it? I mean, people called it a dark day for South African football. Other people said that, you know, calling it a dark day for South African football, when it comes to women's football, you can call every day a dark day for South African football because they're perpetually treated like second-class citizens and deserve better. How do you see it?
Yeah, that's exactly how it is. I mean, like, we know that women's football in the country hasn't been, you know, been taken that seriously, you know, over the years. I mean, we're just starting now, you know, to take it very seriously, especially, you know, after winning the WAFCON in 2022. I mean, like, there were a lot of promises that came out of from there, you know, Juntilo. Banyana Banyana, we promise, you know, same treatment as Bafana Bafana, you know, everything is just going to, you know, run smoothly, you know, the salaries and all of that. But again, you know, it's a pity that, you know, I mean, for SAFA, you know, to organize that friendly game against Botswana in a very short period of time and take that game to Tekane Stadium, a stadium that is not, you know, FIFA accredited, you know, a stadium that's not, you know, there's not worthy of playing. I think even amateur teams don't want to play at the stadium anymore. It was really unfair for them. I mean, that's a World Cup team. That's a team that's going to the World Cup. That's a team that's that won the AFCON. That's a team that made history. Banyana Banyana has really evolved over the years. Most of the Banyana Banyana players are playing overseas now, you know, and you know, for them to stand out like that, I think, you know, it was well in their own rights, and they did really well. They did very well, you know, and to go out there and say, you know what, this is what we want, we demand this and we demand that. I think it was coming because these players have professional contracts, playing overseas. They know what is right. They know what is wrong. And, you know, for them, I think it was good for them to stand up against, SAFA because otherwise, we just going to get the same treatment, you know, as the next generation was going to get the same treatment. So for now to see this, you know, current Banyana Banyana team standing up for themselves, I think it was good for men's football. And, you know, hopefully, you know, in the future, things will just, you know, turn out all right for them.
Yeah, I think it's about time someone took a stand against the South African Football Association and their treatment of women's football. They use it as a crutch almost whenever they need it. They'll tell you everything they've done, and then when it comes to the crunch, they seem to really not do anything.
Exactly.
In terms of, you know, we also saw, obviously, Zambia, whose coach must be mentioned, is under investigation for misconduct. Mm. But aside from that, which is obviously a serious allegation, Zambia played Germany in a friendly ahead of the World Cup. They beat them. Late with 3-2, you must be careful what happens in friendlies ahead of tournaments. I don't think anyone's ever going to forget Ted, Dimitri, and Bafana Bafana when we beat Egypt in a friendly ahead of the 2006. AFCON didn't win a game or score a single goal. So, yeah, you must be careful about proclamations after friendlies, but it was promising.
Mm.
And, you know, a win like that
it's a confidence booster.
Can only boost the confidence of Zambia. It's a proper high prestige friendly. And there are reports, obviously, that came out that Germany and Switzerland both wanted to play South Africa. Mm. So why would SAFA choose to play? It's obvious why, because it's cheaper for them, presumably, to drive a bus to Tekane Stadium than it is to fly a team to Europe. So it doesn't really need a rocket scientist to figure that one out. But, it just speaks of the poor treatment. There were games out there. There were games available. SAFA decided, no, we want to penny pinch. We don't want to spend this money. So obviously the association is in some kind of financial trouble, I think. I don't think there's any debating that. They've also had to fend off a lot of bad press. Coming from the Daily Mavericks, Amma Bungane team recently about allegations of financial mismanagement, which is very interesting. If anyone else wants to have a look at that, those articles are very interesting. SAFA are denying them, as is their wont with many of these things. But anyway, I just feel like it's a situation that is it a cash-strapped association not wanting to spend money? That seems to be the crux of it—a bit of stinginess from SAFA.
Yeah, I think I would call it a stinginess. I mean, there's a lot that's happening in SAFA, and with these investigations and that article that just came out, I think there's really something going on with SAFA. I think there's a lot of mismanagement of funds, because I know Banyana doesn't really have a lot of sponsors. They have Sasol and all that, but again, Sasol is pumping in huge money, into SAFA, for Banyana. And again, SAFA also gets grants from FIFA, And I mean, why would you not let Banyana play friendly games against Switzerland, for them going to the World Cup? And you know what's the funny thing, Jonty? I mean, immediately after that whole thing, typical that happened in Tekane Stadium, the next day, SAFA announces sponsorship for Bafana Bafana. What do you call that? What do you call it? I mean, like, it was just a disgrace. It says a lot. It says that, it showed that SAFA doesn't really care about Banyana. How do you announce a Bafana Bafana sponsor after what happened in Tekane Stadium? Come on. I was just very disappointed with that.
So, I mean, obviously, government and Motsepe Foundation have stepped in. So we gather that the ladies will get their award. I mean, if they do achieve at this tournament, it'll probably be despite the South African Football Association rather than because of. They have a very tough group. Sweden are one of the best teams in women's football. Mm. Italy and Argentina are no mugs. How do you see their chances in terms of, obviously, the last World Cup, they didn't win a game. I think Tembi Khatlana scored that fantastic goal that everyone remembers. But after that, they didn't score another goal. What do you think? Do you think they'll improve on that, or do you think they'll also find it very tough to get out of their group? I mean, it is it's a bigger World Cup, so it's slightly easier to get out of the group, but do you think they'll manage?
To be honest with you, yes, it is a very, tough group. I mean, like you said, Sweden is one of the best, women's teams in the world. But again, you look at Banyana and how they've grown over the years. I think we have a very competitive team. Our ladies play, beautiful football. I mean, they have, a lot of experience in the team. I mean, I think, about 60-70% of our players play overseas and others have played and came back into the country. So the experience in that team, is very huge. And looking at the fact that this team has been playing together for a lot of years now, it says a lot. I think we have a capability, to compete against the best teams. Yes, we struggle against the likes of Brazil in the friendly games and all of that. But, again, we didn't have one of our best players during that time, which is Tembi Khatlana. I mean, she gives us something, really special in whenever she plays. So, I mean, yes, it's a tough group, but I think we will be capable of competing and probably, getting out of a group. Probably we might make the last 16, Jonty. We might make the last 16. I see Banyana, winning one game and drawing one in that match. Inverted group, actually.
Yeah. Okay. Bold prediction from Tepo there.
I trust Banyana Banyana.
We'll see how that plays out. Next week, we'll talk a bit more about it. The World Cup kicks off on July the 20th. And then Banyana's, I'm behaving like Safa. Banyana's first game is on July the 23rd against Sweden. So we look forward to that. And and hopefully a lot of people will get behind Banyana. A lot of people would anyway, but also it's like the only real major tournament of the, I mean, okay, we've been watching the Kasafa Cup.
It's not a major tournament.
Which we haven't touched on here, but with the quality of the Bafana side that they put out there, we can't call it a major tournament. They don't even have the actual Bafana coaching the team. So yeah, there's one major tournament this summer, European summer, this winter. We know it's winter because it's freezing here in Johannesburg. This winter, there's one.
And Banyana
have the FIFA Women's World Cup. So they're
friendly against Costa Rica on Saturday. Well, that's a wiffy, you know. Yeah, yeah. It's a wiffy friendly for them. Okay. You know, and I think it will be, you know, it will be good to see where the team is actually, you know. Mm. So, yeah, let's see how they do. I'll be playing on Saturday. Looking at that Costa Rica team, they're kind of a good, you know, a decent side. But I think Banyana can win this one as well.
Okay, Costa Rica, a good build-up friendly for Banyana. Mm. Let's see what happens there. At least they've got a game, and then the actual Banyana team's going to play in it. okay, that's it, for this week. Thank you for listening. Please do follow us on Twitter at Pakati with 3 A's. Like us on Facebook at Pakati with 3 A's, and get your copy of Pakati free when you buy the Citizen newspaper every Tuesday. That's the Bacardi supplement. Thank you to Tsepo for coming in, and we will see you next time.
Eat the oil.
Cheers.